welcome everyone to the Milking It podcast. It's the podcast that, as always, tugs the teat of popular culture until it explodes all over your face. I'm David Davis.
And
I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bear, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
It's Boulamont.
And here we are! It's episode 28. Can you imagine? We've made it to episode 28, and this episode is gonna be great. Although, it is sponsored by Benadryl, because as you can probably hear, I'm snotty as a motherfucker. I am full of hay fever, but I'm feeling okay. So we're gonna have a good old chit-chat and a general stroll, as always, aren't we, Boo, through the week of geek.
Indeed, Dave. Love and pollen is in the air, but we're here to lead you down the path of geekiness for this week's Milking It podcast.
I've got the feeling that you're milking it. You've got the honey for the boys. You wanna milk it and you know. You gotta milk it and you know. You've got the feeling that you're milking it. You've got the honey for the boys. You wanna milk it and you know.
And as always, Boo, we start the week off with a stroll through the geek news.
Geek news.
So, Booty, what's on the agenda this week? What's the first thing we're going to chit-chat about as we take our stroll through the week of geek?
Let's just get it out of the way now, Dave. It's some Batman news. Can you imagine? I think I'm going to start off with the most, for me, the best bit of news this week, which is 2019, the futuristic year of 2019. We'll see the release of the standalone movie, The Batman.
Excellent. Well, not just a standalone, but if it's 2019, we'll all be on our hoverboards, so we can all we can all enjoy that. But yes.
And we'll know whether the Justice League movie worked out or not.
Well, let's hope so, but I'm sure it will. I'm sure it'll be absolutely fantastic. But yes, yeah, good news in the fact that they are working on a standalone new Batman film, which will be the Batman that we've all talked about, good old Ben Affleck.
Yes, I'm sure he's going to do a great job, as we've previously stated here on the Milking It podcast.
As we've previously U-turned on.
Oh, no, totally. If you go back and listen, swear to God, as soon as the news got announced, I was like, oh, Batfleck, that's great.
Oh, I love him. He's brilliant. I liked him. I loved him in everything he did. Yeah.
I loved him in, what was that thing he was in? Geely. As rumours happen, they generally do come true. Especially with all the leaks and the rumours that come through the internet these days.
They do. I mean, it seems a long way off 2019, but I think it'll go quite quickly, especially if they're, you know, they are pumping out that star. They've spoken about other movies as well along the way. We mentioned this recently, but there was also some casting news, talking of Justice League, about Aquaman, sir. Something that I believe we, and here's a plug, kids, look out for it. something that we chitted.
We cheated all over the place.
We did. We chit our pants talking about this.
Cheated and eventually we chatted ourselves.
Oh, I can only blame the antihistamine, sir. we chit-chatted a storm in an interview, the Milking It podcast's first ever international interview this week, which we will be telling you more about. If you follow us on our Facebook via milkingitpodcast.com, you'll have seen that Drew Griffin from the US-based podcasting magazine did an interview with us the other night, which was a very interesting experience, was it not, sir?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and Drew, thank you very much for having us both on, and can't wait to listen to the interview, as I'm sure the Milksters all will be getting on board with that. And
more concerning, however, is the fact that it was a video interview. So Boo and I are used to sitting here chit-chatting over Skype, and all we see is the little sort of profile pictures that come up, and not to, you know, obviously shine light upon magic, as they say. But we never really see each other. But it was very weird doing a conversation, doing a three-way is what I was going to say, but a three-way dance, as ECW would have called it back in the day. And appropriate, because Drew's from Philadelphia. And it was quite strange seeing Boo there and myself and everything else. So I'm hoping our Gurney...
He's got a human face, ladies and gentlemen. He does. A human face.
Well, he has a face, let's just say that. it did remind me, however, that there is a brand new trailer for Planet of the Apes that's just come up. So if you get a chance, check that out. It's the final
favorite
one.
Reboots. That avoided the reboot shoot and went straight into the reboot rainbow.
Oh, we do love a bit of the old Planet of the Apes here on the Milk It podcast. But yes, thank you very much to Drew for doing the interview with us. We'll keep you all informed. Everyone got a shout out who's involved. And it's just very flattering to hear that other people are enjoying the podcast. And we always appreciate everyone who listens. Keep looking at the milkingitpodcast.com for more details on that. And check out the podcasting magazine, because it is a very, very good read, especially if you're... if you enjoy your podcasts. We were expecting quite a technical, in-depth interview. However, it soon denigrated into a conversation about what was better, Star Wars or Star Trek. So if you're interested in what we think about that, then definitely, definitely check out the interview.
So Booley's true opinion on Doctor Who, exclusively on the interview with Podcasting Magazine.
Absolutely. If that's not worth tuning in for, then I don't know what is. But so Aquaman has been cast, apparently, quote-unquote.
Yes, and it's a really interesting casting as well, Dave, because...
It certainly is.
Jason Momoa, who played Conan in the Conan reboot.
Yes, yeah, and is... If you're not aware of him, he's from Game of Thrones, which we don't really talk about. Again, something we mentioned in the interview, but
it's something we should mention.
We don't really talk about Game of Thrones because I'm very aware of it. I used to live with someone who was a massive, massive Game of Thrones nerd, which kind of spoilt it for me trying to watch it, because he would sit there and try and explain the whole backstory, and these are the snarks of Snickety Snook, and they've done this to this person. This is
also British porn star Macy D is in there, and I've always been a fan of Macy. She's kind of down to earth.
I think that's probably the second shout out you've given her, sir. But from when you're on your own in your room at the point of climax.
No, but she seems to be like a really cool, down to earth person. But anyway, she was on Game of Thrones.
Yes, anyway,
front of everything.
Yeah, well, no, there's certainly a fair amount of titties appearing in Game of Thrones, I understand, and also the occasional schlong. So, you know, they're covering all bases. That's what I'm saying.
Could you please, Dave, at this edit point, put in the South Park parody of the Game of Thrones song, but every word is wiener?
Boo for you, the world.
Wiener, 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 one wiener next to
winter is coming, and apparently so is Boo Lamont. Basically, yeah, so we don't talk about Game of Thrones that much because I don't really watch it. I'm getting into it a little bit more now. I am watching some of the series. So that and Doctor Who, we're catching up on. Look, we're nothing if our finger less on our pulse, more up our arse. But
sorry, Dave, just to cut in, I've completely forgotten. This can't go on the show. The first episode of the Flash TV series leaked online today.
Holy what? What do you mean it can't go on the... Of course this will go on
podcast. Because we're advocating piracy.
We're not advocating piracy because I'm not wearing an eye patch and nor do I have a parrot on my shoulder, sir. However, if something's there, I'll watch it.
It has leaked and apparently it's fantastic. But sorry, again, don't want to do it. This doesn't have to go on the show, but it doesn't really cross over with Arrow because there was an actor in it who played something else in Arrow. He's a policeman in this, and he was like a bad guy in Arrow.
Well, all I'll say, Boo, is that it may not have anything to do with Arrow, but I'm all a quiver at the idea of watching that.
You're going to keep all of this on, aren't you?
Of course I am.
So Jason Momoa, David, has been cast as Aquaman.
Okay, and without a doubt, one of the most attractive young men I've ever seen in my life. The
picture, well, that's neither here nor there, you know, in my view. But
this is the Milk Eating Podcast. This is the Pigeon Podcast.
And I'm excited about the casting because of how the gentleman looks. Not in the same way that you're saying he's good looking. Mm. He is a bearded. He's kind of like a.
He looks like Roman Reigns.
Barbarian. Yeah, he looks a bit like Roman Reigns. Yeah. So I'm suggesting by the way that this gentleman looked, that we're not going to get pussy pants Aquaman in his little orange top with his little green trunks, yeah, and his little yellow booties. We are getting that some motherfucker cut my arm off and now I've got a hook for a hand as well as this trident, which I'm going to stick up your ass.
We are definitely getting New 52 Aquaman. Excellent.
What do you want?
That's all you want. We want that sort of war hero, you know, trident carrying motherfucker who you get in the Injustice game and everything else. That definitely for me, that confirmed that I'm interested in that character, because combine him with the CG effects they can do now with Aquaman, just perfect.
I mean, dare I say it, Dave? I'm probably more excited about the Justice League movie than I am about Avengers 2.
Oh, God, he said it.
However, X-Men Apocalypse is the one that I am really looking... Anyway, but yes, I think I'm looking forward to the Justice League movie more than Avengers 2. There, I've said it. Marvel Man has gone to the dark side.
There we go. See, I told you it would happen. In terms of movie news, if we're sticking with movie news, we spoke briefly about Harrison Ford, I think. Did we mention in the last podcast, or has that happened?
I think we mentioned his ankle.
Podcast? Yeah, but it wasn't his ankle, by all accounts.
No, it was his whole bloody leg.
Literally, when people are in the UK, there is a tradition as actors that you step on the stage and people say, as a good look message, break a leg. However, he did, quite literally. And spoiler alert, yes, the Millennium Falcon is definitely in the new Star Wars film.
Because it was the Millennium Falcon's door that broke his bally leg.
It was, did I say
bally? Now, there's a British...
And apparently, I read during the... I'm sure you did as well, looking on the various sort of geek websites and stuff, that they were saying, oh, this might push back the release of the... It will not at all. If the death of Brandon Lee back in the day didn't push back the Crow being released, there is no way that Harrison Ford's leg being crushed is going to cause any sort of problem at all with this.
Jesus, that the new Fast and the Furious with Paul, you know, since Paul Walker died, they're still releasing it and they're using his brother as a stand-in to do the last few shots. Mm. That's still getting a release. There's no way that this huge, possibly one of the biggest summer movies of this generation.
Of course, yeah. I mean, it's got cross-generational pull, so it's going to be just massive when it comes out, isn't it?
It's going to be immense. There's been a couple of rumours that came out today, Dave. Sorry, while we're in the realms of Star Wars.
No, go ahead, dude.
But there's going to be a few villains involved, and one of them's going to be a Mandalorian bounty hunter, not necessarily Boba Fett. But the other villains that they mentioned that sounded really interesting to me, and I'm not massively aware of, is that there's going to be a few Sith witches. So these are kind of evil women that use the dark side magic to do their evil doings.
Switches, if you will.
Yeah, I like that. We'll call them switches.
There we go. That's a trademark, copyright to Milking It Podcast. Yeah, 2014.
I don't think Harrison Ford's leg breaking is going to stop the Disney machine from getting this movie out on time.
No, not at all. At the end of the day, it's a broken leg. What's that, 2 weeks recovery from a broken leg?
Not if you're Sid Udy.
That's just brought an awful image. Google it, kids.
But while we're on the subject of Star Wars and we're on Milking It, I'd just like to thank everyone for pushing the hashtag...
Hashtag get Milking It on Star Wars, kids.
Yes.
It's the grassroots campaign that you can get behind.
If you'd like to see me and Dave you know, with our layer buns in our hair, absolutely, possibly an audience at a pod race, any, we would happily do
Max Rebo
any cameo.
Band, whatever you want, we're there.
Whatever you want. I could be the cast for Harrison Ford's leg. I could act as a stool of some nature. A chair, I mean, Dave, not a stool.
the jury's still out on that one. But yes, I think that's the way forward. Yeah, hashtag milking it. Get milking it on Star Wars. So
get it trending, kids. Get it trending now.
Is that what they say? Yes, get it trending. Come on. It'd be the first time I've been trendy in a long time. Talking about movies, talking about trailers, talking about big summer blockbusters. One that we spoke about many, many times. You're excited about it. I'm a little bit scared.
I'm the only person that's excited about it. And I'm even more excited now I've seen the full-length trailer, Dave.
I know. Originally, when we talked about doing this, we literally had the first image that someone had put up of the main protagonist villain in the movie. However, he's a big part of a brand new trailer, which unveils a hell of a lot more about Michael Bay's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You know, Dave, I just want to say what I took away from this. Michael Bay is either a genius or a madman. There's a line in the trailer which someone's trying to describe the turtles, and they go, "Are they aliens?" And she goes, "No, they're not aliens." April O'Neil goes, "No, they're not aliens. That would be just ridiculous." Very much like the initial rumor when Michael Bay first told us that he was making a Turtles movie.
Yeah.
Everyone said that he was going to make. I think he perpetuated that rumor for that line.
I don't know. I think that's probably a reaction to some rewrites and stuff. I think maybe originally he thought it was a good idea to try and redo the origin story and everything else. But the whole film itself seems very geared towards the not traditional origin story. I mean, we discussed it before that it doesn't quite go. It looks like it's all tied in with the idea of them being developed as sort of assassins or as sort of a military experiment as opposed to anything else. But so what do you think of Shredder? Edward Knife Hands, what do you think of that look, sir?
There's a scene where I think it's Raphael is doing a slow-mo dive flip over three knives coming towards the screen. And a big up to my main rat, Splinter, as well, who looks exactly like I imagined he would.
Yeah, including the death sequence that seems to be a spoiler alert in the trailer.
But he's not going to die, is he? They wouldn't really? Put that in the trailer,
really?
They? Really? Yeah, I don't think they'd put that in the trailer.
Okay, well.
But but stranger things have happened, mate. You might be right. I really hope. He did look kind of buried.
Crushed,
that,
yes.
Yes.
Indeed. It looks...
Sorry, I was going to say with the Shredder thing though. Did you notice they had like, obviously, what was Shredder previously? Because they had like the old Japanese guy.
Yeah.
And that was obviously the original Shredder, and he says, "We've remade your Shredder suit."
Yes, that was it. Yeah, I that seemed like a bit of a nod to the previous stuff, and it was like, oh, okay, that's interesting way that they've done that. But it is just. It is very Michael Bay. It's turned up to 11 and lots of noise and lots of clashing of steel on steel. And again, it still doesn't make me want to rush to the cinema to see it. I will quite happily wait and watch it when it comes out on DVD and Blu-ray.
I'm sticking with my guns, mate. I cannot wait for the new Turtles movie, even if it is a Michael Bay movie. And he's hurt me so many times before. He's hurt me with Transformers so much, but I'm a really forgiving guy.
clearly,
I am, and I'm prepared. And I love the initial trailer. I like the new trailer. Even if I'm the only person on the planet, I'm really looking forward to the new Turtles movie.
No, completely. I totally agree. It's something I'm looking forward to, but in a weird kind of voyeuristic way, I'm more looking forward to the reviews and the people watching it. We've talked before that it's a franchise that's kept going since it came out. So there's been so many reboots and reimaginations and things like that.
I believe there's an anniversary coming up for it, Dave. And from this, is coming a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles documentary, which should be out by the end of the year, and that looks really good.
It does, yeah. There's a trailer for it that we put up on the milkintpodcast.com, which looks extremely, extremely good. The other trailer, talking about documentaries, did you see the trailer that we put up on there? It's for Video Game the Movie.
Is this Zach Braff?
Zach Braff, yeah, the guy from Scrubs.
And not much else. I think he was in a film.
He's done.
Garden State.
He wrote and produced Garden State, which was a great film, to be fair.
It's really popular.
Like, soundtrack is amazing as well.
There's a joke on Saturday Night Live, with Zach Braff. It's a classroom sketch, and Zach Braff's in it, and he's just sitting in the back of the class. And every time he takes his headphones off, it's the Garden State soundtrack, and he's like, "The Garden State soundtrack has changed my life." But
perfect.
There you go. No, I did see that. It looks really cool. I believe Will Wheaton from Star Trek The Next Generation and Stand By Me fame. Was he in Stand By Me?
I believe so, yes, yeah.
There you go. That might be another booty fuck-up. We'll have to double-check that. I don't have my guy in front of me. But yes, Will Wheaton and Zach Braff. So Zach Braff has written and produced this documentary about the history of video games and the culture and the subculture of gamers in general. And obviously we're part of that, so we should, for all intents and purposes, get on board
for
that.
Yes.
Get away, you Zach Braff.
No, but it looks very interesting. But he's kind of gone down that sort of Seth Rogen thing of, like, I need to get famous people interviewed for it. And it is kind of like famous people sat around doing talking heads about what they remember from being young, and I played Daley Thompson's Decathlon on the C64.
Yeah, I remember that. Good game.
Yeah, very good game. The joystick movement and the hammering of the button as
ad wanking, we called it back in the day, Dave.
There we go. Look at that. Stepping all over a punchline. Boon Lamont since 1984.
Oh, shit. Sorry, Dave.
talking about 80s stuff, as we just were, and this is a hell of a segue, kids. There was news today about Gremlins 3. The idea being that it's now parked itself. Gremlins 3 was rumoured about 6 months ago. I'm not even sure whether we talked about it on the podcast at all, but
we might have mentioned it in the same hushed tones as Ghostbusters 3, Dave.
Yeah, I think when we talked about our reboots and things like that, we talked about it. And this is definitely one from the reboot shoot. Gremlins 3, they are now saying, is taking on the whole idea of Ghostbusters 3, where it's not going to be necessarily a sequel, more of a remake, or they're not quite sure. It looks like they're really unsure what to do with this franchise, so they're calling it Gremlins 3, but it looks like it's going to be a remake.
Not the only 80s film that's been announced as a remake today, has it, Dave? Shane Black, who apparently thank you to Andrew Judas Carter, friend of the show, for putting this up, but Shane Black, who is apparently in the original version of this movie, is planning to reboot the Predator franchise.
Yeah, which I'm amazed it hasn't been rebooted before now. I think it's
they
one
made
of those...
The last Predator movie was only 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. Predators, where
Predators,
they go to the
planet. Predators, of course, with Adrian Brody was the main guy in that, who was in one of my favourite films, The Pianist. And
The 12-inch Pianist.
The 12-inch penis. There we go. A gag from back in the day, kids. And King Kong as well. One of my least favourite films. But
very good actor. So they're remaking... They're making another Predator movie. That's fine. It's a great little franchise. I actually like all of them so far. I really like the first one and the second one. They were so
Danny
different.
Glover was... Yeah, Danny Glover.
Danny Glover. You one ugly motherfucker. and it was 2 days from retirement.
yes, I'm sure. The first one, it took me a long time to. I remember seeing the second one before I saw the first one, so it didn't really make sense. And then, did you ever read the comic books that led to Alien vs. Predator?
I did. I read all of the. I've got all three Batman vs. Predator graphic novels.
Mm.
So I really like those books, and then of course the original Dark Horse Alien vs. Predators. Which are all really, really good.
So good.
Why can't the movies have been that?
Yeah, I don't think the movies were bad though. I genuinely enjoyed the Alien vs. Predator. I know they were shitty horror films in the worst kind of way, but they were watchable and they were just fun movies. They were like, check your brain in at the door and just enjoy them. They, you know, they're not going to be Citizen Kane. You know, it's not going to be Godfather 2. It's Alien versus Predator. It doesn't actually have to be, you know.
Yeah, Dave, the kind of movie you're talking about. Sorry, I don't think I mentioned this on a previous pod, on the previous episode, but I actually went and saw A Million Ways to Die in the West the other week.
Oh, really?
And it was literally a leave your brain at the door, just go in there and chuckle. It's not as good as Blazing Saddles, but it was very funny, a tad long,
yeah,
but very, very good. I enjoyed it, and it's been mauled at the reviews. In fact, I made fun of it myself before I saw it, because it's been very badly received. However, I thoroughly enjoyed it for what it was. A bit long, but totally. Like you were saying, it's one of those leave your brain at the door. You're not going to think about this movie when you come out of it at all. You're just in the moment.
I think the phrase that I've heard before to describe that sort of thing is chewing gum for the eyes. And,
I like that.
That's probably how you'd probably best describe that. Oh, maybe I'll check that out then. If it's on a scale of 1 to 10, well, not a scale of 1 to 10, how many belly laughs did you have from the film, do you reckon?
Oh, no, there was quite a few belly laughs.
Perfect. Okay, so, that's fine.
Sarah Silverman was fantastic.
As always. Yeah.
Seth MacFarlane, I'm not convinced he's a leading man. Put it like that. However, the rest of the cast pulled their belts up, and Liam Neeson. What a guy.
Liam Neeson is fast becoming one of my favourite actors of all time.
And Neil Patrick Harris practically steals the film just by being there. But he's wonderful anyway.
Indeed, indeed. Fair dues. Okay, so talking about movies, did you see one of your favourite franchises from gaming is going to a direct-to-DVD, a direct-to-internet live streaming movie. Yes. Dead Rising is becoming
Because the Dead Rising franchise was practically ripped off from my favourite movie, Dawn of the Dead.
It's a proper pop-elite itself moment. Yeah, it's movies influence computer game becomes movie.
But then,
really?
It's a cross-platform thing, because I'm not going to save this for the game news. I might as well, while we're talking Dead Rising.
No, of course.
Highly recommend the new DLC for Dead Rising 3, the Super Dead Rising 3 Hyper Edition EX Plus Alpha. But yes, the Dead Rising movie is coming out exclusively on Crackle to begin with, which is a Sony-owned free video streaming service, which is actually available on Xbox One, PS3 and internet. They've got a load of wicked stuff on there, including the live-action Tick, the entire series.
Oh, wow, seriously?
And the whole series, and the whole Dana Carvey show, which I'd never had an opportunity to watch.
No, I've heard about that, but I've never ever seen it. That must be I'm literally writing this down right now.
Patrick Warburton has the Tick there. Sorry, but back to Dead. This is a very going everywhere show. But
Who gives a
the Dead Rising movies are exclusively on Crackle, and then it's going to be released on DVD and Blu-ray. And it's parodies. The first game parodied Dawn of the Dead. It was set in a shopping centre, and then it kind of got its own. It's got its own characteristics now. It's you build weapons. There's seas of zombies that you can run from or fight, and you level up. Generally, it's one of those games. Really enjoyable. The new DLC is just a rip off. It's like a fan service for every Capcom game you can imagine. You can play as Ryu, Chun-Li, Mike Hagar. You can play as characters from Darkstalkers. You can play as characters from Dino Crisis. Really cool arcade. It's like a really old school style arcade game.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of fun. It changes the graphics as well. It's cel shaded. It becomes from kind of realistic HD to cel shaded fun. So lots of Dead Rising recommendations. And of course, the Dead Rising movie has been announced. So I'm looking forward to everything that Dead Rising brings in the future. It's a great franchise.
No, definitely. I think Dead Rising 3 has been the best game I've played so far on the Xbox One. They have announced it's now coming out on PC as well. So Interesting to see if there's a graphical increase for that.
I have been told that they're getting every DLC except the one with the long name, which I'm not going to say again.
No, fair is that, but it has been good. I think the only thing that spoiled it for me was that constraint of the time period stuff. It was kind of annoying, and it did suffer a little bit from the classic Dead Rising thing of the bosses being a little bit too difficult for me because I'm rubbish at games. So it kind of stunted my progress through it.
I think I mentioned this on Milk It, but it was the first Dead Rising. Although I love the series, I've only ever completed Dead Rising 3 because I'm with you, Dave, that bosses are so hard. I like to progress, you know, nice and quickly. And for Dead Rising 1 and 2, I was just getting killed by bosses. I think the trick was I wasn't leveling up enough before I went to find the bosses. I think because of the time limit, I felt rushed to get to the bosses quickly, whereas I should have just leveled up and then gone to the bosses. But yes, Dead Rising, fantastic. Good stuff.
Hello, Milksters. Your old pal and friend of the show, Mossman here, off of 80s classic cartoon Masters of the Universe. As you can imagine, I've had a lot of time on my hands since that cartoon finished, and I've been aching to hear some quality, geeky podcast that rounds up all the news in a nice, tight package. Only thing is, we don't have iPhones. Oh, not after old King Randor fell out with Steve Jobs back in 92. Well, imagine my delight that now the Milk and Git podcast is available on Stitcher for Android users like myself. Stitcher.com has all the information. Oh, I can't wait to tell Fisto. He'll be well made up.
Oh, bloody hell. Come on, Boo. Supposed to be recording like a half hour ago. Stood around like some sort of fucking lemon waiting for him. I've got my notes. I've actually prepared this week. I'm not having to rely on him. Let's have a look out the window. Is it around? I can see there's no one. Oh, here he is. Oh, hang on. Yep, here he is. Coming up the stairs. Do, 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 do. Oh, ho, 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 Booley! Where did you get that t-shirt, you sexy pig? I've never found you so attractive.
Dave, I've never felt more attractive than while wearing this t-shirt. It says, Got Milking It. That's right, Milking It merch is now available. You can have Voulamont and Dave Davis across your chest 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's all available via a link on the milkingitpodcast.com.
Milkingitpodcast.com? I also hear they sell mugs so I can have your hot liquid tipped into my mouth.
Whenever you want.
Stand aside, Boo. Let me do that keyboard. I'm going to do some shopping.
An ancient evil that feeds on the sick and demented, which once haunted videos that were rented, are back to turn the blood to ice of all of those who own a personal digital device. On VHS, DVD and Blu-ray too, in your pants it may make you. Therefore celebrate and rejoice Peppers and Lamont as they tell tales of films you should and should not want. The Totally Insane Tape Show is something you should not fear. Listen to it with some food snacks and a beer. To find it, go to iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud and TuneIn Radio. No excuses to these sites. You must go. And to find out whence the evil comes from, go online and look at totallyinsanetapeshow.com.
Talking to Shane Black of Predator Reboot fame, he's also looking to bring back a character that not many people are going to be familiar with, and a character from the comic books who's actually already had a couple of films, but way back in the 60s and 70s. This is Doc Savage.
I've heard the name, yeah, but it doesn't mean a huge amount to me, to be fair.
I caught a Doc Savage movie randomly on TV years ago, and I was fascinated by the character. He's actually been printed by DC and another couple of companies, I believe. And he's what they call a pulp hero. I mean, he's from like the 40s, 50s kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the rumour at the moment is Shane Black wants Chris Hemsworth as Doc Savage, Thor himself, the God of Thunder.
Oh, wow.
And to be honest, it's a good fit. It's definitely a good fit. I mean, for those that don't know, Doc Savage is a character from the 1930s and 40s. He's been played on radio, film and television. He's a scientist, an adventurer, inventor, explorer, researcher, and pretty much superhuman. Hmm. One of the first true supermen of comic books. So I'm really looking forward to that. It'd be interesting to see how they bring him about. I mean, he's from the era of like Flash Gordon and Gordon's alive.
But surely Chris Hemsworth must have a thing in his contract with Marvel to say that he can't go and do, in the same way that wrestlers have a thing of like you're working for Vince, so you can't work for TNA. How does that work?
Hold on, but isn't there someone that's been in a DC and a Marvel movie? Who was it? Not Channing Tatum, not.
Chris Evans has played two characters.
They were both Marvel. They were Fantastic. Yeah. It was Mr. Fantastic and... No, he was Johnny Storm.
He played the Human Torch and he went to play Captain America, yeah. Which they even turned into a joke achievement on the Lego Marvel game.
Oh, yeah, because they... Haven't I Met You Before or something like that? Or You Seem Familiar.
Yes.
Very exciting. But yeah, so I really like the character of Doc Savage, and as I said, he's one of those characters that I'm aware of that I feel a bit high and mighty about because I know that not many people are. But with this announcement, I can drop the toed and just go along with everyone else.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds interesting. It sounds like an interesting character. I need to kind of take some time to look into. The other bit of movie news that we had this evening. Mr. Boom?
Well, Dave, I've got a couple of really interesting... first of all, we have mentioned it on the show, but I might as well mention it now. Casey Kasem passed away very sadly the other week.
There was a reason why we didn't do... Because normally when something like that happens, we kind of jump on it with the Milking Podcast and we do a bit of a thing at the start saying we're really sorry and, you know, we feel it. A bit of time has passed since it happened. It would have seemed a little bit disingenuine to do it. However, both of us, big Scooby-Doo fans.
Absolutely.
And of course, he was Robin as well. And let's not forget.
Yes, in the Hanna-Barbera, in the Super Friends.
Yeah, league. Absolutely. He was Robin. Go on.
There is a reason for my mention of Mr. Kasem, who, rest in peace, Mr. Kasem, and thank you for everything. Oh, your voice will live on forever. Like that is a voice you don't forget.
Do you know what? Sorry, very quickly. We might not have done a tribute, but I am going to drop something in right now, which is Casey Kasem dealing with some issues. It's a very famous clip, but it's one that I put up on Facebook after they said that he died.
And to be fair to him, Dave, he had a point.
Absolutely. So enjoy this, kids.
We're up to our long-distance dedication. And this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio. And here's what he writes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's come start again. I'm coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a fucking up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week.
This is the last goddamn time I want somebody to use his fucking brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is that's up tempo, and I got to talk about a fucking dog dying.
Yep, dead dogs as well. So, talking of dogs, maybe not so dead after all, but they are planning a Scooby-Doo reboot, reboot, Dave. Another live-action Scooby-Doo. There we go.
Yeah, and why not? I mean, the Freddie Prinze, Sarah Michelle Gellar was very successful, made a load of money. I can see,
and it was a lot of fun.
It was, to be fair. The first one, I'm not sure about the sequels, but I saw the first one. It was good fun.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, there's a lot of talk of this Scooby-Doo remakes, and there was the recent WrestleMania.
which was great. I thoroughly enjoyed great. It.
Big fans of Scooby-Doo.
So any time where you see John Cena doing sign language to explain Sin Cara is up there with one of the greatest moments in animation. It's we'll up there with Steamboat Willie, sir.
We'll talk about this later on in the show, Dave. But and it also means that, you know, Brodus Clay. I warmed to him so much recently, not just as a wrestler, but as a character and as a person. And
totally.
Scooby-Doo, he was great in that Scooby-Doo cartoon. And you know, a credit to the company that's just fired him, but we'll talk about that later. That's the news of a Scooby-Doo remake. Another movie that caught my eye this week, Dave, which I am thoroughly interested in, is those regular Milksters who have joined us since day one. No, I'm a big fan of like anthology shows, and I was a big fan of stuff like Tales from the Dark Side and The Twilight Zone. And they've announced this week that one of my favourites, The Outer Limits, is going to get a movie, hopefully an anthology movie.
Oh, wow, really?
I don't know. I'm mainly familiar with the mid-90s remake of Outer Limits. Some fantastic standalone shows in that series, and some of the darkest endings. I didn't know you could have a bad ending to a story until I started watching The Outer Limits.
No, it was. I mean, obviously, originally a series in the 60s, but the Sci-Fi Channel redid it between 95 and it was early 2000s. It ran for quite a while, didn't it?
It ran for ages, and some of the earlier episodes had some really well-known people in it as well.
Like you say, was different about it was that it didn't always have a wrap-up to the ending. There were lots of twists in the tales, and there were those moments where you'd think, okay. that's how we're ending that. Yeah, it was very brave in what it was doing. It did not give you a Hollywood ending to everything.
Like, do you know, maybe we can talk this on a future episode of the Milk In podcast. However, there are three episodes of The Outer Limits which had dark endings, where you think everything's going to be all right, and my God, it's not. Highly recommend you Milks has tracked down some episodes of the Outer Limits. Yeah. But yeah, that's getting a movie, and I like my anthology horror films. I really like the Twilight Zone movie. I really like the Tales from the Dark Side movie. If you guys haven't checked that out, it's the third story in that anthology is absolutely awesome.
To tie in with what we were saying earlier about what we need to talk about more, another fact I remember about The Outer Limits, just very quickly, was obviously we've talked about Stephen King. You know, he wrote some stories that were developed for The Outer Limits. But George R. R. Martin, the guy behind...
George R. R. Martin?
Yes, the guy behind Game of Thrones also wrote several stories that were involved in the reboot of The Outer Limits. So if you're a fan of good television, that's probably one of the...
Yeah, definitely check that out.
But so, yeah, you know, Mark Hamill was in it, and you know, people like that. So yeah,
John Boy from the Waltons.
In fact, Neil Patrick Harris was in An Outer Limits. I'm
sure I remember. Oh, yeah. Look at that.
You're talking about that. And who played the Green Lantern? Ryan Reynolds was in an episode of The Outer Limits as well.
Fantastic.
There's loads. Sorry,
another great anthology TV show that people don't talk about much was the Freddy's Nightmares one, and that gave Brad Pitt one of his first TV roles. There you go.
Wow, okay.
That was season two. Was that before
he was in Thelma and Louise?
Was before. It was quite a few years before he was in Thelma and Louise.
And let's just not forget, Milksters, how good he was in Thelma and Louise. God bless his abs.
Do you know what? Freddie killed Johnny Depp and Brad Pitt early in their careers, so that's definitely something that you can take as a badge of honour.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Let's wrap up our movie news. I've got two more bits. One is very briefly, we can't really expand on this. 2016 has been announced that there'll be Transformers 5, G.I. Joe 3, and Star Trek 3. They're all gunning for a 2016 release. Very brave of them.
Yeah, because obviously that's the big year, kids.
Yep. We're getting JLA that year.
Yep.
And, that Batman vs. Superman's next year, isn't it? Or have they pushed that to 2016?
Batman vs. Superman is 2016, isn't it?
Oh my god.
Yes.
Good luck, Transformers, G.I. Joe and Star Trek.
Next year is Star Wars.
Yes, of course it is.
The year after is the Batman vs. Superman, yes.
Also, apparently the standalone Star Wars movies coming out that year. Holy crap, 2016 is...
They're packing them in, kids. It's going to be a pretty heavy few years in terms of massive movie releases. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they spread them out. But like we've said before, there have been those announcements in terms of... not announcements, but leaked bits and pieces that suggest that they have a plan for at least the next sort of 6 or 7 years, definitely.
Jesus, hopefully we'll be around for all of it. The last bit of movie news is a kind of crossover with comic book news.
Yep.
Quentin Tarantino has announced that if you want to see a sequel to Django Unchained, the only way is to buy the Django Zorro crossover comic book, which will be written by himself and published as a crossover between, I believe, IDW and DC. So that is very interesting that he's going to go with a crossover for a sequel. But apparently, according to him, it's going to be the true sequel to Django.
Wow, that's very cool that he's doing it via a comic book. Talking of comic book crossovers, did you, I believe, Mr. Boo, you may have received a comic book crossover in the post this week.
God bless you, sir. God bless you. I... thoroughly enjoying the Batman 66. Is that right?
Yeah. Batman 66, a crossover with the Green Lantern. Hornet. Green Hornet.
Hornet, David. Hornet, not Lantern.
Damn it. Yes. But so good.
Yes.
We've spoken about it several times on the podcast.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's a great crossover.
And much appreciation from that, Dave. Absolutely fantastic.
Indeed. If you get a chance to check it out, it's Kevin Smith, our podfather, Ralph Garman doing it. Just amazing covers, just wonderful artwork. So, yes, definitely.
And just quickly, my apologies. I'm going to correct a booty fuck up now. It's not IDW, it's Dynamite Comics and DC Entertainment are publishing the Django Zorro series.
There we go. Got in before Judas could correct you, sir. So that was this week's stroll through the week of Geek in terms of movies, but there's a little bit of other news that we need to concentrate on. TV news this week, the biggest thing, obviously, Boo, had to be the new trailer we saw for the pilot episode of of the TV show that is keeping us going here on the Milking It podcast, Gotham.
Could you be talking about, Dave? It can't be Gotham, the TV series, could it?
Absolutely. And I was taut and buoyant, sir, watching this. It was everything I hoped and more. It concentrated on the villains. It looks like everything I want from a TV show. So
it looks brilliant. And Edward Cobblepot looks perfect. Edward Cobblepot? What? Sorry, it's because they've said the Riddler's going to be in it as well.
Oswald Cobblepot.
Oswald, sorry. You can keep that in, I fucked up. But it's also got Fish Mooney, who's a brand new character who'll be played by Jada Pinkett Smith. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Selena Kyle.
Who was classed as a villain, which was very interesting, because they haven't really said whether the whole cat...
Oh, because they were alluding that she was friends with Bruce, weren't they?
Completely. That was slightly misleading as to what they'd kind of hinted at before.
How can a young lady that old be a villain? She's a villain eventually, of course, but, you know, where is this going to go? Are we going to be leaping over in years during seasons? I mean, much excitement.
Indeed, no, completely. And also today, there was the guy who's one of the main...
For downloading very soon. But yes, Danger Mouse is back. They've released the first images. He does look very different, quite modern.
Yep.
And obviously the art style is a lot more polished than the 1980s version. The rumours at the moment are the voice cast will either be Russell Brand.
Really?
Mm-hmm. David Walliams of Little Britain fame. I'm not sure what the international milksters might know him from. He's a very British name at the moment.
To be fair, Little Britain did quite well in the States because they did a series, didn't they? They did a whole series of Little Britain.
They did Little
USA,
Britain Abroad,
which was
Little Britain. Yeah. I believe it was. Yeah, no, I do remember that actually. And the last name that they put forward is the one which pretty much I think is the one I'd hope for. If anyone's going to replace David Jason, it should be Stephen Fry. Doing a voice. Not doing his own voice, I think he could. Or even as Penfold. No, Dave? No?
I'm not. Do you know what? I love Stephen Fry.
Who doesn't love Stephen Fry?
He's a national treasure, sir. But yes. No, I'm not convinced. I would not go for Stephen Fry.
Throw your hat in the ring, sir. Who would you like to see voicing Danger Mouse?
I would say...
Doesn't have to be from the three I suggested.
Okay, I would either go for the tumultuous tag team that we've mentioned many times, as in Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen.
Good, I thought you were going to say Ant and Deck for a minute there.
No, not at all.
I'd
go for them. Sadly, obviously, Rick Mayall just passed, but Rick Mayall and Nate Edmondson.
Oh, fantastic, Dave, that would have
fantastic
been wonderful.
Team. How cool would that be?
Oh, the man dreams. We can dream away.
Yeah,
dream away.
That would have been cool. But no, not Stephen Fry. I'm sorry, but no. He
no. That's that's your opinion, and you're entitled to it. You know, I think to be honest, just because I like Stephen Fry, out of the three names I suggested, probably Russell Brand would be the most suitable, although he might come across as a bit more Roland Rat than Danger Mouse.
Dingle Ballbag Revolution.
Well, Dave, let's go from British side to Bayside. Mm. Nice link. Do you like that link?
That was very good. Very smooth.
A few years ago, Dustin Diamond, who played Screech in the original Saved by the Bell, released a tell-all book telling of the sexploits of the cast and crew behind Saved by the Bell. Mr. Belding, of course, going on to be a bit of a wrestling legend as a fan, and he's done a few independent shows. And there's some great YouTube clips of him giving a stunner. However, there's plans for a TV movie based on this tell-all book called Behind the Bell.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. Saved by the Bell, for me, is one of those kind of things that you didn't really think about growing up because it was just always on. It was one of those things you always watched in the morning. And
California Dreams and Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
Always on a Sunday, always on four.
And like you say, Dustin Diamond has done various things since, and himself been involved in both porn and wrestling and all sorts of things. He was in, was it Hulk Hogan Celebrity Wrestling?
He was in Hulk Hogan Celebrity Wrestling, indeed he was.
Yeah, so he's no stranger to trying to make money out of his failed career. But
and I thought you were going to say he's no stranger to the ring, being that it's porn and wrestling.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, there's a story I was going to tell, but I'm not going to. Saved by the Bell generally was one of those sort of it's so 90s. You look at some pictures now. It was curtains-tastic.
Zack Attack.
The Zack Attack, indeed. So it'd be interesting to I've never read the book. It's not something that really appeals, but if they put together a decent... Is it like a made-for-TV thing, or are they...
It's a made-for-TV thing, so don't expect lots of dicks and... orgies in the back, but, it is a part of TV history, and it is for kids our age, like, we're kids anymore, but when we were kids, it was on all the time, and it was such a piece of Americana for us Brits.
Yeah.
We didn't have anything like that school life that they had at Bayside.
It's very different to Grange Hill, put it that way.
No Zamo. just say no.
There we go, kids.
Clip that. That's a clip, Dave.
Yep.
Just say no. You don't have to be...
So, yeah, Saved by the Bell's getting a TV movie. It should be quite good. Well, it should be interesting to say the least. No, a 90s nostalgia for you. Yeah,
definitely. One quick bit before we leave TV news this week. Ben and Jerry's, God bless Ben and Jerry's, are releasing ice creams that I believe you might be interested in, sir, because I know you are, and you always mention Saturday Night Live. They are releasing special Saturday Night Live ice creams.
Yes, Dave, as a massive fan of Saturday Night Live, I got very excited at first because Ben and Jerry's have announced their second and third SNL-themed flavours. The first one, of course, being the Sweaty Balls.
Yes,
you may remember from the Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin, yeah. Friend of the show.
Yeah, but not friend of...
Fiend of the show, sorry. Yeah.
Fiend of the show. Well, the first one they've announced is Jilly's Catastrophe Crunch. This is based on the Jilly character made famous by Kristen Wiig. Very funny character.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the one I'm most excited about, which is the Lazy Sunday. Wake up in the late afternoon, call Parnell just to see what he's doing. Sorry, it has to be done. The Lazy Sunday flavour, which is based on, of course, the Lonely Island / SNL digital short, Lazy Sunday.
Mm. Yes.
I love Saturday Night Live. As time progresses, I realise that I may be the biggest British fan of Saturday Night Live that there is. I'm slowly but surely learning every bit of history and have done over the last couple of years. I was reading an article the other day about what the Americans voted the top like 10 best SNL sketches of all time. And it's pretty clear that they are the favourites, are my favourites too. They had Eddie Murphy in there. They had the more cowbell in there. They had a Will Ferrell sketch where he plays a doctor, which they basically wrote 5 minutes before the show aired. It was absolutely brilliant. And yeah, so many great sketches. Debbie Downer, the fantastic Rachel Dratch. So yes, the good people at Ben and Jerry's Fine Ice Creams have announced the SNL flavours. Go on, play us a bit of Lazy Sunday, Dave.
Lazy Sunday, wake up in the late afternoon. Call Parnell just to see how he's doing.
Hello,
what up, Parn?
So Sandberg, what's cracking?
You thinking what I'm thinking?
Nadia!
Man, it's happening.
But first, my hunger pangs are sticking like duct tape.
We hit up Magnolia and Mac on some cupcakes.
No doubt that bakery's got all the bomb frosting.
I love those cupcakes like McAdams loves Gosling.
Gosling.
Did you enjoy E3 then? Yes, of course you did. Watching other people play video games badly is always great, especially when it's interspersed with businessmen talking sales figures. Now then, those two reprobates discussed the highlights of E3 last week. Shall I finger through the carcass and see if I can scoop out any more scraps of meat amongst the giblets, wishbones and unidentifiable inner matter? I do love fingering a carcass. It's how I got fired from the funeral home. I'll have a root around in the interwebs for some other game junkets too, because my milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and damn right it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I would have to charge. Taste that 2004 jive. Tastes so good. Story number one. How on earth did those scruffy looking nerf herders who run the show not mention surely the most mind-blowing video game of E3? The trailer for No Man's Sky is what you dreamed about when you started playing games as a fresh-from-the-womb, scabby-kneed irritant. If you haven't seen the trailer, stop playing this and go and have a look-see. Finally, a game that simply cannot be done on your Xbox 360s or your PlayStation 3s. I'm not saying anything else about it because you need to have your own gobsmacked. Just go and watch that trailer now, dog. Now, another thing that my two chums overlooked was a very interesting factoid while being depressed about Grand Theft Auto V just getting re-released with a shiny new coat of varnish for the next-gen consoles. For the first time I can remember in the dark history of video gaming mankind, which is many moons, waxing and waning, you can take your online character from your previous console and use them on your next-gen console. This includes cross-company format swaps too. So, for instance, your online 360 character will be wandering around in his new higher-res togs on your PlayStation 4. Wow, consoles! It's only taken you 20 years to catch up with PCs in that regard. Brilliant! Story number 2. Angry Birds Transformers. Angry Birds just don't know when they're done, do they? All the kiddywinks have long moved on to Minecraft merchandise, undoubtedly, already looking at a new games franchise to destroy parental wallets with, the adorable, low attention span shitbags. But here comes Rovio's epic war tale of wingless birds and discoloured pig craniums again. And this time, they've switched their attentions away from the Skywalker saga of Star Wars to Optimus Prime's trailer full of changeable toy fun. Yes, Angry Birds Transformers has been announced, but interestingly, appears to be playing homage to the original G1 series in its promotional artwork. Images released depict the birds parodying the poster for the original Transformers 1986 movie. You know the one where the near-dead Orson Welles played a fat planet. Hardest stretch for him at the time. Unlike his trousers! Story number 3. Amiibo may sound like a member of Nigerian's World Cup squad, but it is actually Nintendo's attempt at gathering in some of that Skylanders swag. Yes, Nintendo, formerly the leading lights in video game innovation, have decided that combining toys and video games should be a thing, about 3 years late. The Amiibo figurines of characters such as Mario, Kid Icarus and Star Fox will be compatible with most of Nintendo's flagship titles, starting with the latest Smash Bros., unlocking additional content. The figurines look pretty detailed, and are easily on par with both Disney Infinity and Skylanders toys, plus they have the advantage of working with Nintendo's AAA lineup of differing IPs, so these might be a success. But are they as late as a bareback teenage girl's period with these? Time will tell. Story number 4. THQ is back. THQ, who went belly up at the beginning of 2013, are to make a comeback. Sort of. Nordic Games have bought the rights to the name of the former WWE game producer, after acquiring also the rights to Darkstalker and the ATV franchise last year. It's thought that the small team at Nordic believe that using the name of the more established company may enhance the sale of its video games. Because failure is as enticing as chocolate eclairs to a famine-stricken village, apparently. And finally, story number 5. Minecraft Scandinavian sugar daddy Notch has released a new game, the first since he turned digitised Lego into multi-million dollar kiddie crack. That can't be wiggity wiggity whack, can it, my little monkey spankers? Well, yes it can. He's made a game called Cliff Horse, which involves a horse. And a cliff. And a giant ball that looks like it's made out of a spherical flank of purest moo cow. I would have mentioned that in the title. A giant ball of cow is far more bizarre than horses on cliff tops. I know loads of suicidal ponies. Anywho, the reason why this game probably won't be as popular as Mojang's previous Goliath is that Notch knocked this one out in a couple of hours. Knocking one out in a couple of hours sounds like me on a Sunday. Gotta keep relaxed. Cliff Horse is intended as a nudge and a wink towards Steam's reliance on hyping unfinished alpha and beta versions of games on their website. Notch is having a rib, the cheeky bearded bar steward. Weirdly, it's sort of playable in a roughshod goat simulator kind of way. Feel free to check it out. It's as free as licking bricks. And that, kiddie winks, is all the splooge I've left of my news cannon. I'm off to wipe it on a fresh flannel or your mum's curtains. Okay, bye!
So that was Jay's games news for this week, mopping up the things that we missed from E3. There is only one thing, really, and there has been loads of bits and pieces that have happened, but the only thing that I really wanted to bring to your attention this week in terms of games news for the Milking It podcast was that they have announced the brand new Angry Birds. And it's something that I'm sure will interest you, sir, as you are a big Transformers fan. Angry Birds Transformers.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Birds disguised as robots, disguised as vehicles, and disguised as cars. And
yeah, yeah.
I did like Angry Birds Star Wars to a degree, because that's the kind of franchise you can do that with, but how are you going to do Angry Birds Transformers? Just have them Transformers themed, or are you going to be able to change them mid-flight into vehicles, or I don't know. I think it's weird. I think it's a really weird choice of a franchise to go after. I mean, the Angry Birds thing is now, it's a phenomenon, isn't it? I mean,
Oh, God, yeah. It's a multi-million dollar franchise.
I just think it's just... But the game's always the same. I think it's going to be... It's going to be huge, as is every Angry Birds game. I can clearly see, you know, the red bird is going to be Optimus Prime. Your yellow bird's going to be Bumblebee. It makes sense, and I can see what they're going to do with it. But do they really need to bastardize another franchise? I suppose it's capitalizing on the new film that's out. God, is it out? Or is it out now in terms of the milking it timeline? I think it is for our American cousins.
Pretty much, yeah, there or thereabouts. Yeah, it's not far off if it's not. So it's
so basically, if I don't see my Angry Birds Dinobots, I'll be mad.
But did you not see the way that they've done it? They seem to be appealing to the original Angry Birds. The original Angry Birds.
The original Transformers. Are you talking about...
Yeah.
And Dave, what do we call that?
I'm not sure, Boo.
G1, David. I've gone through this a couple of times. The G1 Transformers, that's Generation 1. Which I am a fan of. And that's the one, it's the 80s throwback one.
Yes.
It's the original animated series. It's the original movie. It's Optimus Prime in his prime, and it's Megatron / Galvatron, you know, in the early days. This is before Beast Wars and the new manga-looking ones, which I'm not really a big fan of. But yes, Angry Birds Transformers is coming to Android, OIS, iOS. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Did it? Yeah, good one. And all mobile platforms by the end of the year. Do expect... the consoles to follow, because I know Star Wars Angry Birds did come out on the next console. Which begs the question, when somebody bought their Xbox One or PS4, who was the people that chose to have it with Angry Birds? I saw it in the shop, Dave. Seriously, sorry, I just go on a very brief tangent.
Yeah.
When I went and picked up my Xbox One, the deal was any game plus Xbox One for like another £20. And I honestly said, you know, this is the selection. They were like, you know, you could go for this, you could go for Dead Rising, you could go for Rise, you could go for Angry Birds. I went, are you really? Really? Somebody went for Angry Birds? Oh, I've just got this very expensive next-gen console. Like, do I want to push it to its limits? I want to make sure the graphics are beautiful. I think I'll go with Angry Birds. No, just no. And that was a bully rant, courtesy of the Milking It podcast.
It says the guys who have both played Peggle 2 on the...
Hey! Oh, God, yeah, you're right. We're just as bad as the rest of you. Sorry, Milksters. I'll go back into my little corner now.
Okay, so that was this week's stroll through the week of Geek. Excuse my voice as I'm gradually losing it. However, we could not be a pop culture podcast, if you will, without mentioning a bit of wrestling, because we do like to chit-chat about wrestling now and again. There were some releases about 10 days ago, in terms of when we were recording this, from the WWE. Their stock has plummeted. There is a situation that they are in that the network has not pulled in as much revenue as they thought. So they have to be in the situation where they need to be kind of recouping that money and showing their shareholders that they are trying to do everything they can to make money and appear to be the most successful team going. So they did some releases. However, as we're recording tonight, I believe, Boo, there has been an announcement of another release as well.
There has been an announcement of a release today, Dave. Literally breaking news on the Milking It podcast. Josh Matthews has just been released from his position on the broadcast team and wished well in his future endeavours.
That's quite insane, because he has been there since 2001. He was on the original Tough Enough that was on MTV when they had that deal with MTV going back in the day. I genuinely thought he was a good announcer. I enjoyed Josh Matthews as a character on TV.
However, Dave, he doesn't have the gravitas of a Jerry Lawler. God, believe I'm saying this? He doesn't have the gravitas of a Michael Cole.
But I would say, if they turned round and said, and again, I apologise for my voice because it probably sounds really bad at the moment.
It's Shawn Michaels' heel voice, Dave.
I've lost my smile. That I would quite happily have them announce that Jerry Lawler is no longer with them.
Oh, Dave, come on. Listen.
No, seriously.
He's no longer just an announcer. He's part of the furniture of WWE.
But then I would have said the same about JR. I'd rather be...
Maybe you're right, Dave. JR's gone and it was JR and the King. They were the pair. They were the Bobby Heenan and the Gorilla Monsoon of their time. Maybe it's best to lead double acts. Both of them out there. Once one's gone, maybe it's time to get rid of both. Maybe you're right, Dave. Maybe you are right. Maybe it was time to give the young blood a bit of a turn.
But I agree that, to be fair, they're saying that Renee Young is going to replace him on the kickoff shows and the Money in the Bank stuff that's coming up this weekend. Renee Young has been so good. She is such a good presenter for them. It's very refreshing to see a female who understands what she's talking about in terms of wrestling and just gets the product. And apparently dating Dean Ambrose. So she's not unfamiliar with the wrestlers as a whole.
And you know, Dave, I can't think of a single female commentator that's gone on to bigger things. I mean, maybe it is time to give her a turn on the table. If you know what I mean. What?
No, not since, and the name escapes me, I'm so sorry, Milksters. Shane McMahon?
Wow.
Saturday Morning, yeah. So it's been a while.
I haven't heard in some time.
Todd Pettingill, the poor man's Casey Kasem, to be fair, and would always do that impression, which was so bad. But yes, there were, other than that particular announcement, which has kind of caught us by surprise tonight, there were additional let-goes this week. A number of people wished well in their future endeavours. We'll go through them very quickly, because I know you'll probably have something to say. But we'll start from the bottom and work up, as far as I'm concerned. There was a referee, Mark Harris, who was fired. Not really anything about him. Don't really know what he did or anything else.
No, just maybe there's just you met too many referees on the payroll. And as you said, they're in trouble financially.
Yeah, completely. So they have to cut corners. So it's going to be that point.
I mean, I'll go first. The one that shocked me the most was Teddy Long. Teddy Long is gone from the WWE, my friends. There will be no more impromptu tag team match. Hold on, player.
A tag team match.
Let's make
or
this a tag
one-on-one
team match
with the Undertaker. Yes. Yeah. He was a legend. I genuinely thought he was a lifer in terms of WWE, but unfortunately not. But yeah. So yeah, Mark Harris, Teddy Long, Drew McIntyre was the
Drew McIntyre. And why don't we add Jinder Mahal?
Jinder my balls. Yes.
Yeah.
yeah. Unfortunately, yeah, both Jinder and Drew, who were both being used every week on television, which was a surprise.
You know, and out of the three man band, so out of those three guys, he's the one to keep his job, not Drew. And it's shocking, but Drew McIntyre is already accepting independent bookings in America under his original name, which he used to wrestle over here as Drew Galloway.
Yes,
he wrestled for RQW, amongst others.
I would recommend anyone who listens to podcasts, so obviously I'm not talking to Boo, who doesn't. If you get a chance, listen to the Drew McIntyre and Chris Jericho podcast.
I've heard it's good.
Amazing. And Chris shows so much respect to him for everything he's done. And Drew comes across as someone who just understands the business. And like he says throughout the podcast, you know, he did everything he possibly could with what he was given. So, you know, and there's a long period of them being in 3MB where Drew couldn't wrestle because he was injured. But no one ever realised that because he was on the outside. He was just doing the sort of manager gimmick. So that was very interesting to hear. But yeah, I'd recommend anyone who's interested in the sort of backstage stuff to definitely listen to that.
Kurt Hawkins, who didn't exactly set the world of wrestling alight, he was let go. I didn't follow much of his work. So maybe not a big loss.
Were you not a fan of the Edgeheads, sir?
No, not really. I do remember them. It was him and...
Zack Ryder. Woo, woo, woo.
You know
you
it.
You know it. Yes, yeah, so Kurt Hawkins let go.
But... Sorry, just quickly, I do have that. Zack Ryder randomly turned up. I watch a TV series called The Toy Hunter, which is highly recommended on YouTube. And one of the episodes just randomly opens with Zack Ryder walking in, and he collects... He collects retro Ghostbusters toys, and he got himself an original Proton Pack in box with all the foam bits. Lucky bastard.
Wow.
Yeah,
no,
there you go.
He is a massive sort of geeky nerd. If you follow him on Instagram, it's very cool, because he just puts up loads of pictures of him with either retro wrestling figures or like Ghostbusters figures or just very 80s stuff. He is a massive toy fan.
Zach, we'd love to have you on the show if you are a milkster at all over there in the USA. We know you like your geek stuff, so if you are, you know, if you are listening and you want to talk geeky or wrestling, please hit us up at milkingitpodcast.com.
Absolutely. The other one that was announced, which wouldn't come as much of a surprise, was Arkansa.
Arkansa, yeah. Apparently, did she injure one of the girls a little while ago?
Yeah, she did a jump off the top rope and a knee, which broke the orbital bone of one of the Funkadactyls. The problem with that was that she was the Naomi who was on Naomi of the Funkadactyls was on the Divas, the Total Divas show.
Yeah.
So it became a massive deal because it took her off performing for several weeks. So yes. Unfortunately, in the parlance of our time, she cooked her own goose, sir.
Yeah, it's a shame, but, you know, I don't want to... You know, I'm a very big supporter of women's wrestling. Mm-hmm. We've had women's wrestling guests on, the wonderful Amazon Aisha Rae.
Of course,
I'm a big supporter, but I am amazed that only one of the girls was let go. I'm going to say it. I am amazed that only one of them. Especially the fact that both Funkadactyls kept their job. I know that Total Divas is keeping them afloat.
I was going to say that's the big deal, is that Total Divas is the thing that is keeping people employed at the moment. Also, it's worth noting that on the network this week, obviously the Legends House has finished with a crushing ending and just an amazing reveal of a secret that no one in wrestling would ever know.
Absolutely
about.
Nobody knew that.
No, and no spoilers on the Milking It podcast. I'm not going to give away the amazing ending to the the wonderful Legends House.
You love you, Pat. Sorry.
Fucking dreadful. But I'm
sorry. It's a made for TV moment, and
of course
it's the worst kept secret professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Nobody really cares in the nice way. As in, it's never bothered anybody. So, you know.
No, completely.
Guys, check out the latest episode of
Legend
House.
Well, you say it's never bothered anyone. I wouldn't say that to Barry.
You're not going to talk about the rowdy one, are you?
No, I'm not. I was just going to mention Mel Phelps and Barry O. But anyway, so just...
I've seen that episode of whatever that show was called.
Google, Phil Donahue.
This has gone all sexy. Evan Bourne was also released.
Evan Bourne, who hasn't been on my television for probably 2 years, apparently.
Yeah, he really injured himself, didn't he? And
he did more than just injure himself, sir. He buried himself.
How did he bury himself, sir? This I'm not aware of.
He buried himself by, and Milksters, this may not even be included, but we will mention it now. So he was injured for a long time. He came back and then got suspended because he was smoking...
Wacky Backy.
Well, no, it wasn't Wacky Backy. It was a synthetic marijuana. So
I've had this chat with a couple of former WWE superstars.
Right, so he was smoking synthetic marijuana. He got caught for it, which it's against their wellness policy. So don't fucking do it.
Yeah, I know he got himself into trouble when it comes to the wellness side of things. And he hadn't done anything in a while. He is a great flyer, but he'll go straight back to the indies. I'm sure Ring of Honor will be ringing him any day.
God, yeah, completely. I'm sure he'll drop straight into that.
The next one is Yoshitatsu. Again, this is a guy who I don't think was ever given an opportunity. I barely saw him on TV. He's a fairly interesting looking guy, but from what I understand, he's been inundated with offers from Japan already because they, you know, big in America, they come back home and they're huge. But he's from, you know, he's a naturalized American, and he wants to stay in the USA and just accept indie bookings. But I don't think he's as popular in the US as he thinks he is.
I think the greatest thing about Yoshitatsu is that he's been in the WWE games for the past couple of years. And he has become the jobber of choice. So if I am using a big character to beat someone up, I always use Yoshi. But, however, I hear he kicked the shit out of Sheamus.
What, for real?
Yep. For real. Is
this is like the third fight Sheamus has got into recently in the last few years. He really, like, they don't like Sheamus, or Sheamus doesn't like them. He was involved in a fight with Del Rio not too long ago.
Yep.
And he's very lucky because Del Rio would have kicked the shit out of him.
I was going to say, shoot fight.
Del Rio is a legitimate hard man. You don't mess with Del Rio. When he was, he did MMA fighting, and I know he won a couple. And you don't mess with Del Rio in real life. So, yeah, so he's gone. Camacho, who was a trainee of Team 3D's school, he's gone, and he was in it for a cup of coffee as well. Not much to talk about.
I don't understand, though, because Camacho, listeners, you might not know, is the son of Haku.
Yeah, he's son of the...
I don't understand what... Sorry. Like, there is your badass.
This is a company that has a hard-on for second and third generation wrestlers, and this isn't just any wrestler we're talking about. We're talking about Haku. We're talking about Meng. We're talking mild men. Del Rio, fairly hard. Haku, opposite end of the spectrum. Mega hard. This guy could headbutt an atomic bomb and it would apologise.
No, completely, because he has such a respect in the industry, and whenever people talk about, like, who backstage was really legitimately a hard ass, and it's like, no, seriously, Haku or Meng, if you're part of WCW, but he was that guy that everyone was like, no, just don't fuck with him, because
pull your eyeball out and eat it in front of you.
There we go. He's seriously like that. But all they did was dress Camacho up as some Mexican. He's not Mexican.
He's not Puerto Rican.
He's Tongan. He is that islander who is a hard ass. He is a legitimate guy who, he always looked good, he wrestled well. It's unfortunate. I think they just didn't do enough with him.
They could have stuck him in a group with the Usos and have an islander gimmick. You know, they're legitimate, they're all legitimate, and they're all third generation guys as well. But yes, so that's Camacho, and the last two are the ones that we'll focus on. I mean, we spoke about it earlier, but Brodus Clay has been announced, and ever since he's been announced, he's had nothing but nice words to say about the company. He's had nothing but nice words to say about the people he worked with. He's already accepting indie bookings. He's wrestling Homicide. God, good luck, Brodus. No, don't get me wrong, and I don't want to get Homicide angry, because that guy's a tough motherfucker too. I've met Homicide in real life. I saw him wrestle in London, and he signed autographs and seemed like a genuinely nice guy, but you do not fuck with Homicide. Brodus Clay versus Homicide, I'd be interested to see how that goes down. Yeah. But Brodus Clay was a company man, as we said earlier on the episode. He was in the Scooby-Doo animated show, animated movie, and again, just a company man.
I just think he was one of those characters where I remember originally him coming in, and he was the bodyguard for, legitimately the bodyguard for Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg,
And then they made him the bodyguard for Alberto Del Rio, because he was on NXT with Alberto. And then they just suddenly, out of nowhere, created this weird kind of Dusty Rhodesy dancey gimmick and gave him
The story goes that they were going to give him this enforcer hard man gimmick, and he was hanging backstage once and just being his happy dappy self, and they were like, you know, I think he was just mucking around and having a little boogie,
okay,
and someone just saw, I think Vince McMahon saw him, and they went, let's go that direction then.
God, like, damn it, look, let's do this,
make him dance like Dusty Rhodes, damn it.
Give him polka dots.
So somebody tell his mama that he needs a job.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but I agree with you. I, he was totally underused, and he has been so good since
he did bring about one of my least favorite WrestleMania moments of all time.
Is this the massive mama dance?
What was that about?
That was amazing.
What was that all about? It was really weird.
It was.
And I will say that both of the Funkadactyls are very attractive ladies. I know one of them's married to one of the Usos, Rikishi's son. So, you know, all power to Brodus. Good lad. He's not bitter. He knows that his time there was limited. And never say never. People get released and brought back when the money's better all the time. So who knows? But the last one, David, the one I've saved for last. Oh, this is juicy. Yes, Dave, the day has finally arrived. I'm not happy about it. I'm not celebrating it, but I'm just amazed that he stayed under the radar of the releases for so long.
Indeed.
That is my main man, Jason Anthony Paul, a.k.a. JTG, has been released.
Can we pause here for a little bit of the entrance music?
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, 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 yo. Pop a 40 and check your rollies. It's crime time.
Brooklyn, Brooklyn. We're bringing it, bringing it.
We're bringing the hood to you.
We're bringing it, bringing it.
What you gonna do?
We're bringing it, bringing it.
We're bringing the hood to you.
We're bringing it, bringing it.
Yeah, that's how.
Hey, yo. No more Hollywood. Nah. This is Hollywood.
Indeed. I can't believe he is gone. And There is a slight thing that you do feel that it might have been down to the fact that the internet kind of started a bit of a thing, because they announced they were releasing the other guys, and then suddenly after the internet went, what about JTG? They went, oh yeah, he's gone as well.
You can almost imagine JTG going, no, don't mention, don't even say a thing.
Yeah, he is. He dodged a bullet for a long time, sir.
But you know, we all thought that maybe he had some dirt on Vince McMahon, or maybe he had some dirt on like Triple H, somebody. But he's gone, so maybe probably not. He's finally reforming with his old buddy Shad, and the rumor right now, as it's not even a rumor. Every time someone's fired from WWE, the first thing people think is, well, TNA are going to be banging on your door any week now. So who knows? We might see Time Crime.
They are wrestling as Crime Time, but spelt correctly. Because when they were in WWE, they did the whole Y thing instead of it was a Crime Time thing. So, they are going to be wrestling together as Crime Time, but spelt C-R-I-M-E.
And, I must admit that talking to JTG, I'm reminded of one of the most awkward things I've ever seen in wrestling, which was it the strap match, JTG versus Shad?
Mm-hmm.
A strap match between two black gentlemen. Yeah, that's got certain connotation. That was really dodgy. They had a strap match at Extreme Rules, which JTG won, by the way. And Vince... you're still doing it.
Not quite as awkward as Vince McMahon talking to Booker T and using a word that we would never use, which sounded like this.
Yeah, what's good in the hood?
Just holding it down, trying to take care of business.
Keep it up, I'm a n***a.
Tell me, he didn't just say that.
Dave, no!
I beeped it, sir, it's fine. Don't worry, we'll get away with it. So those,
never
those...
give a Vince McMahon an even break.
And I'm hoping everyone just enjoyed the tales from the WWE releases this week. I'm going to go on record now of saying I think within the next 6 months we're going to get more of those.
Yeah, definitely.
Because they've literally released their bottom tier jobbers, so. People have now shifted down. So
So there's people in the mid-card who are now going to be job fodder, basically.
Yeah, completely. So it'll be interesting to see in the next 6 months. I reckon we'll get some more of that. They kind of adopted this idea of, oh, we're only going to release people when their contracts are up. But WWE contracts have a thing in them where every 90 days they can release you. So you literally have 3 months, you could be gone. 3 months, you could be gone. 3 months, you could be gone. Just to give them the option of letting you go. So give it 3 months, kids. We could see some more.
You never know. If the power of the WLC match wasn't enough to keep the whole three-man band together, then what hope does the lower mid-card have right now?
In the mid-90s, the PlayStation 1 made games cool for the first time since your father moistened your mother's underwear gusset with his impressive Pac-Man score, a decision which ultimately left you on this mud ball, getting in my way and stealing my oxygen. I always hated Pac-Man. Using clever marketing, Sony craftily infiltrated the mainstream with demo units in the Ministry of Sound nightclub, post-pub adult TV advertising and sports sponsorship. Cool titles such as Tekken, Ridge Racer and particularly Wipeout were miles apart from the nerdy things like the kiddie games on the Sega Mega Drive and the Super Nintendo consoles. So it came as a bit of a surprise that Final Fantasy VII was one of the system's better selling titles, even in the style conscious West. Surely, a mid-90s trendsetter would have thought that RPGs were for the sort of nerds who live with their parents when they are 40, smell of links and virginity, and have worn out the Princess Leia metal bikini sections of their Return of the Jedi VHSs. Get some FIFA 97 in, nerd. And yet it did sell. It was a phenomenon unlike any other. No other turn-based RPG since seems to have caught the imagination of the Western public. None caught it before, certainly. So much so that people would rather play through the game again on a newer console than have Square release another Final Fantasy sequel. Boulamont doesn't like it though. We should ostracise him or something. Don't talk to him at the Viscount's dance tonight. Leave him to talk to the Bulgarian ambassador. He always goes on and on about agricultural finance. That'll learn the grumpy old sod. So, back to Final Fantasy VII. We haven't heard a peep out of the residents of the planet Gaia since 2005's CG movie Advent Children, have we? Let's catch up with our old friends now, shall we? No? I haven't got anything else written down. So you'll have to deal with it. I shall break this up into three parts, so you can come back and listen to it over the next couple of weeks. We all know that you'll just unsubscribe from the podcast because you usually use this bit to fill up the washing machine, or put the cat out, or wait for those cool kids to come back. Well, look, I'm trying to meet you halfway. So anyway, let's start. Vincent Valentine was the moody ex-Turks operative who was experimented on for 30 years. Like a particularly hardy albino beagle, only with a Sisters of Mercy fetish. Having seen the critical panning his 2006 shooter Dirge of Cerebrus took, Vincent flounced off to his coffin room again, painting the skirting boards black and setting about writing barely sixth form standard poetry about how unfair the world is. He's rarely seen these days, only popping out to the Electric Ballroom in Camden to pick up fat goth girls in corsets so they can go back to his crypt and drink red wine while pretending it's blood or something. He has allegedly read every single Twilight novel 6 times. Next up, let's talk about the teen ninja pickpocket, Yuffie. Yuffie Kisaragi found herself at a crossroads after the events of Final Fantasy VII. Having saved the world, Yuffie could have carried down a heroic route and perhaps volunteered at a soup kitchen or sold dead people's clothes at the local Oxfam. Instead, she carried on stealing things. Her life carried spiralling downwards ever since, and she has now as a charge sheet that includes 5 counts of burglary, 26 convictions for shoplifting, 12 charges of Class A drug possession, and 1 summons for an act of public indecency with a wild tomboy. The boyish smile and carefree optimism has now long since faded from Yuffie's pretty face, replaced by the worn, gaunt, pale fright mask that is unmistakably that of a crack whore on her last legs. Sid Highwind. Sid Highwind found the fame of his 1997 heroic daring do addictive. For some time he was the toast of the Midgar celebrity circuit, his unerring charm seeing him invited onto all the major talk shows. He also appeared on reality TV shows such as Celebrity Chocobo Farm, which is now known for that famous YouTube video clip, Sid's lit cigarette causes farting chocobo to explode into gristly feather gore cloud. Sadly, fame is only temporary in these fickle times, and Sid found himself turning to the booze as the work offers dried up. In September 2008, Sid drank a bottle of vodka and crashed the airship into the flying boss monster weapon. This consequently started a battle which Sid failed to win because he was so drunk and couldn't read his attack options at the bottom of the screen. Besides, he didn't have him with him his trusty staff weapon. And when he did find the attack option at the menu at the bottom of the screen, he found that the options wild drunken arm swing and belligerent swearing quite ineffective against this 100-foot green-armoured monster. The flying beast felt so antagonised by this shambolic encounter, it promptly went off in a huff and flew and blew up a large part of the Golden Saucer Entertainment City with its laser beam breath, killing 210,000 inhabitants. Sid wrote an apology letter and sent a cheap box of chocolates to the mayor of the Golden Saucer to show contrition. Which, surprisingly, the mayor accepted, because he simply loves Cadbury's Heroes. And that's the first part done, kids. Bye!
So there we go. That was episode 28. Can you imagine we made episode 28? I'm still full of hay fever and my throat is shot, but we've had a good old chit chat tonight about the best of geek culture from the past 10 days or so. I've been David Davis.
I've been Boulamont, and as always, thank you to Dave, thank you to Dino Peppers for the art, thank you to John Sands for the tune that tickle your ear every week. Don't forget to join me and Dino for the Totally Insane Tape Show every week, as per usual. So until next time, from me and the D, we say Audi 5000 from the Milking It podcast.
Bye-bye!
You wanna milk it and you know, you gotta milk it and you know.
You're still here? It's over. Go home.